Second Peter 3. Second Peter 3, starting at verse 10. There has been mockery. Where is the promise of his coming? Strong arguments given by those who are lascivious in their living. And having answered this question, where is the promise of his coming? Explaining the delays, it says this in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heaven shall pass away. Now, let me pause here one moment. If you look at it in the Greek, what I'm reading to you is a consistent translation of the same Greek word. So often the beautiful King James will take the same Greek word and translate it different words to make it beautiful sounding. But listen to this and you'll see more exactly the translation from the original. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot and blameless in his sight. Again, prayer. Father, we thank you for your eternal word, telling us the beginning and telling us the end and telling us of eternity. We marvel, our God. How could we ever conceive of such things? But thou hast put us. So, our God, the truth, having been read, by thy Spirit let it be explained, and by thy Spirit in the heart may it be comprehended, and let something of profit, something that will change our lives, take place as thy word is preached. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our prayer is, how long? How long? And our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus. But whereas we are praying, come, Lord Jesus, when we pray that prayer, it means less time for those who are lost to be saved. And yet, we pray that. But why that prayer has been so long in answering is not God's slackness, but God's not wishing that any should perish. But understand this, those who say, do you not know that his mercy endureth forever? Yes, his nature of mercy does, but his actual bestowing of mercy does not endure forever. You say, why? Because after all of this long suffering, and we've waited some 2,000 years for the coming of the Lord, after all of this long suffering, understand, verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come. And then, it will not be God dispensing mercy, but it will be God taking vengeance. Who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And there are going to be days of vengeance, as there have been millenniums of mercy. But the time is coming when that mercy ceases and God of judgment will come upon those who have neglected, rejected that mercy that was extended to them so long. I told you this, and I can only briefly tell you once more. Speaking about the coming of the Lord, there are various aspects of it, and the coming of the Lord has a beginning, it has a duration, it has an end. And so if I speak of the day of the Lord, I could be speaking about the beginning, I could be speaking of its duration, I could be speaking of its end. And when I read to you about the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and it speaks at that time as to what is going to occur, I understand that this is the very consummation of the day of the Lord and the beginning of the day of God. The day of God will have a beginning, but it will have no end. But the day of the Lord has a beginning, a duration, and a termination. It begins, it lasts, it ends. The day of God never does. And so this day of the Lord that is being described in verse 10 is the consummation of the day of the Lord. It is what occurs after Christ's millennial reign on earth. And after that, then the day of God will occur. I'm not going to take time to bring in all the details because I labored the point the last time I spoke to you, telling you about this aspect of the coming of the Lord that Peter emphasizes. I told you that Paul spoke about the catching up of the saints being changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Peter tells us what is going to occur after we have been caught up, reigned with Christ for 1,000 years, and then enter into the day of God. This is how our God is going to make ready our eternal dwelling place. How? This is the way it's going to be done. Look at verse 10 now. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. If I interpret all that God tells about this day of the Lord, this is that aspect of it at its termination. But I want to bring to your attention something most interesting about the day of the Lord, that every part of it has to do with fire. The first part of it, at the beginning of the millennium, the end of it, and also the beginning of the day of God. And I want you to see this. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you say, well, how is the day of the Lord going to begin? I'll read it to you. Verse 6, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians, verse 6, if so be that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense affliction to them that afflict you, and to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power, in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, when our Savior is revealed, it says he's going to be revealed with power and in flaming fire. So the beginning of Christ's reign on earth begins in flaming fire. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 7. The beginning of the 1,000 years began in flaming fire, God taking vengeance on them that know not Christ and that obey not the gospel. All right. In verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are finished, notice, I told you it began with fire. Well, let's see how it ends, 1,000 years. Satan shall be loosed out of prison and shall come forth to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the war, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up over the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. You say, well, the end of the millennium is as the beginning of the millennium. Yes. And now, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 12. Looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, you say, here it is again. Yes, at the beginning of the millennium, fire. At the end of the millennium, fire. At the beginning of the day of God, this is fire. Because it's not only the fire of judgment that comes from the Lord Jesus and comes from God who would destroy the enemies of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, earth's rightful king, but now the fire that is going to introduce the day of God, this is what we are reading about. And this is where in verse 10, look at verse 10 again, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You say, why? Here, it's talking about the heavens and the earth, yes, whereas primarily, at the beginning of the millennium, it's speaking about the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ being visited by fire. At the end, it is Satan and those that he has deceived from the four corners of the earth to come and fight against the saints of God. They are destroyed by fire. But now notice, here it is emphasizing the heavens and the earth and the elements. And so if you ask, well, what does it mean the elements shall melt with fervent heat? I take this to be the various matter that make up the universe. All the various kinds of matter that make up the universe, these are the elements. You have an entire thing. An entire thing is made up of elements. And it says that of which this material universe is made, it is made up of elements, and they are going to melt with fervent heat. And this is what is so remarkable. We know that God had not revealed nuclear physics under Peter, unless you know something that I do not know. But what is so remarkable is that in the way that they explain things, there is nothing contradictory with the most advanced teaching of science about the molecule, about the atom, and it says it is going to be dissolved, and let me tell you about the word dissolved. It means it is going to be loosed. Things that are held together are going to be loose, and when they're loose, they are dissolved, and it says it three times. It says in verse 10, it says, the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. So listen carefully, look at verse 11. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, notice, all of them are to be dissolved. Now, look again at verse 12. Looking for an earnest and desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. You say, well then, it is the elements, all things, the heavens, yes. And so for that reason, you are not able to take one specific thing that is going to be done to the heavens and to the earth and to the works, because we are told here that the heavens are going to be dissolved, and perhaps their being dissolved is how they're going to pass away, how God is going to roll them up as a scroll. So here we get the fullest description of what is going to happen after the fire falls upon Satan at the end of the millennium, then the fire of God is going to fall and is going to engulf, and there is going to be a conflagration of the heavens and the earth and the works therein and the elements, all things that need renewing. All of these things at that time are going to be made new by our God. All right. Now this. It frightens the think of such a thing occurring, but look at verse 13. Even though all of this universe with which we are familiar, and it emphasizes here the heavens and the earth, this much we know, it is going to be dissolved, it's going to be rolled up as a scroll. You say, well, that's frightening. Look at verse 13. But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so I'm not concerned. If God were going to destroy everything with which I was familiar, and having destroyed that, so depart ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If my end was that of the followers of Satan at the end of the millennium, it would be terrifying. But when God is creating new heavens and new earth, he is doing it for me and you and all the redeemed of God. So while we think of the evil ones who have not repented, we think of those who have been deceived by Satan, all of them being burnt up by fire. All the work of earth, God's cursed work in creation, and all of the great works of man being burnt up, melting, dissolved by fire, all of those things frighten until we realize this in verse 13. According to his promise, we look for new heavens and new earth. According to his promise, I want us to see that promise. Turn to Isaiah 65. We must read it. This is why the Old and the New Testament are inseparable. Where did Peter get all of this information? Well, we'll see. Verse 17, Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heaven and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Thus be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. You see how this fits in with what Peter said? Peter said, all these things are going to be dissolved. He said, but according to his promise, we look for new heaven and a new earth. And therefore, instead of being terrified when God says, I create new heavens and a new earth, it says, verse 18, be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There shall be no more since an infant of days nor an old man that hath not filled his days, and so forth. This is why God tells us to rejoice and be glad, even though there is sorrow, when we think of those loved ones who have not received Christ as Savior, when we think of those carnal Christians who, like Lot, have wanted Sodom and Gomorrah, all things that they held precious, and their lives were under control of the riches and possessions. We think of them, and all of them are going to have them consumed by the fire of God, and the only thing that's going to be left is that with which God is going to reward us, and it shall be ours forever. I can promise you that. That what you have sent to heaven ahead, that is not going to be burnt up, because it says there are works who follow them, and the crowns that God gives, and the places of exaltation that God gives, the reward, they will be ours. They are not going to be burnt up. This is what God has done for us. But all the other things, they are going to be burnt up. One other thing, notice now, I create new heavens and new earth. God said it, and Peter said, according to his promise, when God says it, that is a promise. And now in 66, look at verse 22. For as the new heaven and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So here, not only for the church, but for the nation of Israel, the promises that God made unto the fathers, they are going to be fulfilled as well. Not only the church is going to receive these promises, but also Israel. And we read about them primarily for Israel in Isaiah 65 and 6, and then how God is going to create these new heavens and new earth. Peter, at the very last, in the last epistle that he gives us, he tells us how God is going to create new heavens and a new earth. I take it, as I told you before, I take it that God is going to do a miraculous thing, not as he did at first. At the first, he created the universe out of nothing. But now, as Christ took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he multiplied, he worked a miracle with that which already he had brought into existence at the first creation. I take it that God is going to do a similar thing with his first creation by making all things new. And this is the reason. It speaks about the elements dissolving, melting with fervent heat. The earth and the work shall be burnt up. But if I interpret it correctly, when God gets through, and please notice this, and you'll see why I say that. Look at verse 6. You remember? The first creation, God destroyed it by means of water, verse 6, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now let me ask you, when the earth perished in the days of Noah, did it vanish? Did it not exist anymore? You say, no, it was simply deluged, and that's what it meant by perishing. Yes, there's no doubt about that, because after the flood, water subsided, Noah came out, and the dove brought in that olive branch, and God brought new things out of an earth that he had deluged with water and had destroyed every living thing. All right, now, look at verse 7. But the heavens that now are and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So there is fire in the earth right now, in the heart of the earth. There is fire within, and God will send down fire from above as well, just as at the flood there were waters upon the earth, and in the earth the fountains of the deep were broken up, and God had water also to come down from heaven, and there was the great deluge. So there is fire stored up in the earth now, and that fire will be used of God to destroy the earth just before the day of God begins, and fire also from heaven. And when God gets through with it, it shall not be like that new earth that Noah stepped out of the ark to live in. But look now at verse 13. But according to his promise, we look for new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The word means righteousness is going to be at home in the earth. Now, righteousness is a vagabond. Righteousness has no permanent dwelling place in the earth, but you have to search for it. But in the coming day, righteousness shall be at home. It shall dwell in the earth. And think now, after that first judgment of God on the earth, it wasn't long before Noah drank wine, became drunk, and was disgraced by nakedness. And you remember his son Ham, and the judgment of God that passed upon him. I rejoice that when the new heavens and new earth are created by God, at that time there will be no more sin to recur. It is not that God in a future day will have to do something again to his universe, but God has with finality done something to his universe, and the new heavens and the new earth shall abide. They are permanent, And it says, righteousness dwells therein. And so that sin with which we're all familiar at that time, it shall be done away. All evil men, all evil works, the evil nature, all that is sinful and contrary to the nature of God shall be done away. And we forever and ever shall dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, in that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we're so glad that though we have waited long for the promise, you have told us in the old, and we've heard it repeated in the new, you promised new heavens and new earth, and according to his promise, we look for these new heavens and earth. We're looking for the time when thy Son shall come back for us. We're looking for that time that he shall establish his kingdom, and we shall reign with him, and when Israel shall come into its own, when there shall be thrones, and they shall sit upon those thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And we look forward, Father, to that day, having reigned with Christ 1,000 years. We are thankful that the day of God shall be brought into existence, and we shall be with him forever. And he shall reign forever and ever. And where he is, there we shall be also. We look forward to that glorious day. And so, as your word closes, so we would close. Come, Lord Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen.